had some streamers for the antenna, and you could do some things like that. It's quite interesting. Well, the public really enjoyed it. They look forward to the halftime show.
Did you ever have lights on the shoes or uniforms?
Yes, we did some of that. I think we had lights on the hats.
Lights on the hats.
Yeah, lights on the hats. And I'm not certain as how much of that we did. I'm sure we did some of it in Chapel Hill at Lincoln. But they were just for the hat. They were little battery-powered lights, and we put those on there. We make different formations.
So you turn the lights out?
Turn the lights out, yeah.
Oh, how neat.
Yeah.
Where'd you get that idea?
Oh, you read.
So it wasn't original.
No, it wasn't all original. Right. Nothing original there. No, and the swinging of the instruments, you know, Ohio State, they've been doing that for 100 or so years, I guess. And they do the little cursive writing and the dotting of the I. And, of course, University of Michigan, I really enjoyed that band. As a matter of fact, I went to University of Michigan for a couple of summers and took some marching band things. George Cabin, I believe his name is. Yes. So.
Well, I wanted to talk to you also about the safety patrol. You were the head of the safety patrol, and I wanted to know what the safety patrol did.
Okay. During that time, the safety patrol was mostly monitors. They served as hall monitors. They served as monitors in the cafeteria. Of course, the primary duty, of course, was to raise that flag in the morning. And we all stood at attention while the flag was raised. We also had prayer in the schools, you know. And we pledged allegiance to the flag. That was a daily thing. And of course, they come back and they lower the flag in the afternoon. We didn't have any buglers or anything while that ceremony was taking place, but we did that. And of course, the safety patrol was very important. School buses, you know, directing traffic and things of that nature on the campus. You know, as the buses come in, and, they would have the little flags and all that. It was very important.
Sounds like a responsible position.
It was very, very responsible, and of course, it was a rain, shine, sleet, or snow type job. And the safety patrol would be the students in the upper 10% of the class. They would have to be the brighter students, and they would get a chance to be on the safety patrol.
What did they do in the hallways, Clark?
Served as hall monitors, you know. Students, you're not supposed to be in the halls. No chewing gum. Naturally no fighting, pushing and shoving and things of this nature. So it's just a matter of having somebody there. That would be a free period for safety patrol. Or sometimes the safety patrol would be so far advanced in his classes that they could sit him outside of a door and let him do let them do independent study and have somebody in the hallway. Now, if somebody come to visit, the patrol could meet them there and greet them as visitors and show them to the office and things like that.
Did they keep discipline in the hallway when the classes were moving?
Oh, yes.
Would you say it was quiet or noisy in the hallway with change of class?
Relatively quiet. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that there was just total quietness. Naturally, when you come out of a classroom, you're going to talk to your friends and things, you greet and meet your friends, but not too much of the boisterousness now that, thank goodness, no Columbine. That's scary every time I think about some of those things. But and I do believe having the safety patrol there, teachers always on the doors and things like that, anytime something would start, you know, you had someone to be right on top of it, and so it wouldn't escalate into anything large like we have problems now.
Let's say that I were a student at Lincoln and I was chewing gum and I had my hat on in the hallway. What would happen to me?
Well, I'm not certain of what you'd be told that, you know, you're not supposed to chew gum.
Uh-huh.
And take the cap off. And if you didn't do that, of course, then we'd have to send you to the principal.
Was there a demerit system of sorts there?
I'm not sure about that. I'm afraid to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
I do know we still had spanking. I can tell you that.
Can you tell me more about that?
No.
Well, you didn't spank.
No, I didn't spank.
Why didn't you spank?
I didn't have to. I think by being the band director, I was thoroughly loved by all. And I had such a strong disciplinary voice, I didn't have to use that tactic. And some of the football players, which were larger than I, might want to challenge me a couple of times on some things, but I would tell them, I says, now, you know, I played football, and I did this, you know, I would tell them all the things I used to do and so forth, you know, I said, so I'm going to give you a run for your money. So nobody ever tried it.
Was the safety patrol honored in any way, at any time?
Oh, I'm sure they were. They would get the certificates and so forth. And just the mere fact that you could put on that blue sweater with the white band and the little silver badge and so forth, that was honor and recognition that they just enjoyed. On the safety patrol.
So you stood out if you were on the safety patrol. Everyone knew you were a good student.
Definitely.
Top of the class.
Sure.
And you had
discipline. Sure.
Can you tell me about the assemblies that took place at Lincoln High?
They were very orderly. I don't recall any problems. That's what you were thinking.
No, I wasn't referring to problems. It's just, I understand.
It was just an orderly assembly. Whoever was in charge was on the stage where that was my band room. They used my band room for the stage. They were on the stage and they would go through their programs, and we all had the little folding chairs that set out in the gymnasium that we sat in by classes. And of course, each class with their teacher, we go into the assembly, orderly fashion. Each class would come in at a certain time because the bell would ring, and I guess the seniors would go in first, and I've forgotten now just how they did that, but as I recall, it seemed like the seniors would go in and all, and the teachers would be with their classroom, and they would stand by their class, check the rolls, be sure everybody was there, nobody played hooky, you know, to the restroom or something like that. And we had an orderly assembly until they started electing officers and things like that, because things could get a little loud. But
What did you do at the assembly? I understood it took place about every Friday. Is that correct?
Yes, and depending on what time of year it was, sometimes they would have assembly that focused on studies, and they would have assemblies that focused on the proper discipline. They would have assemblies that would have I wanted to say the Crown and Scepter Club, but I think that was at another school. But the different organization, when they had inductees, they would have assembly that, you know, you would witness the inductees that would go into a science club, or someone's inducted into the National Honor Society or something of that nature. They would let the whole school witness that, and that was good for the students because it says, gee, I'm going to get that next year. I'm going to be into that organization the next year, and so forth. So, and awards day, that was always a big thing, and give out band awards and things of that nature. They says, oh, they get some awards, and get a little pins, and we've been to contest, and got our superior rating, then not only did we have a certificate or a plaque, I would give the leaders their little ribbons that they could wear and so forth. They enjoyed that.
Did the classes perform at assembly, or the band, or orchestra, or a choral group, or drama group?
We've had some assemblies at the band perform, yes. But not all of them. Mm-hmm.
Some of them.
Some of them. Yeah.
Was there usually some performance of some type at an assembly?
Yes. They would have some special. Somebody would sing a solo, or somebody would play on an instrument, or some group would perform. That was, I guess, the sort of part after we go through the formality of it before you get to the big part.
I guess what I'm driving at, I don't want to be too obtuse, so I'll just be as direct as I can be.
Okay.
What I'm driving at is my perception of Lincoln High School is that it was competitive and it was performance-oriented, and the students had opportunities to perform in front of the school, in front of other students. And I wonder, am I putting words into your mouth, or is this a fair interpretation of what I've heard?
I think that's fair, and of course there were some, you know, you had your little debate things that would go along, you know, and all of this was on a, and you would say it Friday, and I guess it was, I think I recall it being on a Friday, you could expect to have an assembly program, and those things did take place, yes. Quite competitive, and we had some good speakers come out of that group too. They were.
So you had a debate club on some of the assemblies as well.
And naturally, when they were getting ready for their who's going to be the president of the student council, or the president of this organization or that organization, they had to make little speeches and things of this nature. So they enjoyed that, and the children enjoyed it too.
You had mentioned your social studies classes and books. Can you tell me about the equipment that you had, the books, the desks, any other things, the quality of the material you were using?
It was very poor quality. The books were always secondhand, hand-me-down books. I don't remember seeing a new book in any of the classes. They were generally second in nature, and I remember R.D. Smith, I think, was in charge of that, so you may have to go back to him, and he may be able to correct me in the fact that we did have some new books. Maybe they got some new books for typing or something like that, but I'm not sure. But I don't remember any new books for social studies at all, and that's the reason why I would go outside and try to do some other things to that class going. The deaths, of course, that was sort of off and on. I can remember some deaths being transferred to our school that were in pretty good shape, but I don't remember a whole new set of anything, any equipment coming in.
So most of the equipment was used?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Can you tell me about the teachers, your impression of the teachers at Lincoln High School? And I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, I think they had a good set of quality teachers. I was impressed with the teaching staff that was there. I don't want to call it a name, but I know you've probably heard, you've already heard me speak about Bradshaw. Course, R.D. Smith, and Miss Pope, I think, was quite influential. She was the home economics teacher, and very particular about everything. She really helped those students I know, and helped me also, because she was one that told me about Metropolitan Life Insurance, and I think about that time, blacks couldn't get the kind of insurance that I got. And she said, yes, Metropolitan. And that was probably opening the door, because you probably heard the fact that the insurance company had two sets of books where they would sell insurance to blacks on one book and insurance to whites on another book, because blacks didn't live as long, because of the kind of work that they had to do and so forth, they weren't expected to live so long. So they had different sets of books, and some insurance policies you just weren't able to get when I did. But she told me about some things, and I followed through on some about savings bonds, and I followed through on that. And when I got married and so forth, it really paid off, because now, I'm pretty comfortable, and it came from the insurance policy that pays dividends and things, you see. And that meant a lot, because back then, the blacks weren't getting that kind of insurance. They were paying a little 15 or 20 cents a week or whatever it cost, And whatever it came up to, just about, he said, this would be $100 policy or so forth, and that was all that. Yeah.
Did the principal have an influence on the school?
Matt Dougal, he was okay guy. He was great. Mr. MacDougall was very strict. He wanted discipline in that school, and he got that. He got a lot of respect. As a matter of fact, he had a school name for him. As a matter of fact, over in Chapel Hill. So he paid his dues there. Did a good job. I was able to work with him without any problems. The only problem I had was when I told him that I was going to leave. And he just told me in no uncertain words that I knew that I was going to leave, and I still know I didn't. The job came available, and I said, I must take it. And so, that was only one of the things that I remember about Spack Lugan. The other one was when I went to Chapel Hill for the first time. We had to do lesson plans, and he had a homeroom. He had to do the register and all this type of thing. But I had learned in my first job, because we were called suitcase teachers, to make out two sets of lesson plans. So on Friday afternoon, I would have a set of lesson plans for the next week on my desk in detail, and I'd carry the set of lesson plans to Mr. Van Gilbert for him to keep.
Is that what every teacher did?
I haven't gotten to that yet.
Oh, excuse me.
So when I gave that to him, he said, "Yeah, yeah." And I said, "I have a copy on my desk." You know, that's what I was used to. Then he made all the teachers do that, and they said, "Why are you doing?"
You were the bad guy, huh?
I was the bad guy. They were on my case because I had them doing extra work. But that was one of the things that I got from JST's buyers, and I passed it along to Mr. MacDougall, and he followed through on that. And it's good in a way, because sometimes, getting subs now is much more difficult than it was back then. But even then, sometimes you sub would be coming in late, principal might be out of place or something like that, and lesson plan is right there on the desk. So when you walk in, you're ready to go.
So did they continue that for the 5 years that you were there?
Oh, yes.
Lesson plans every Friday principal,
yeah.
And then on the desk.
On the desk.
That's pretty disciplined.
And when I detail my lesson plans by being a band director and so forth, I would always have a little note there that whoever was in my place could call on this particular student to help you with such and such a thing. And this student knows how they can check the roll for you. Nobody would call, and say they were there and they weren't there, because this student could be trusted and so forth, and they would be able to do that.
Well, I haven't talked about many negative things here, and
you don't want to come up with one, right?
It can't be Shangri-La. It wasn't Shangri-La.
Oh, no.
And so what I want to ask you, and I don't have a handle on this. I don't have a good handle. I have a good handle on a lot of things about the school, but I have no idea about what the dropout rate was. I have no idea about how many went on for more education. And I wonder if you can speak to either of those.
I don't have any statistics on that. I do know that during the time I was there, many of those students did not go any further in high school. And it was financial, and of course it was being in the situation that we were, in a segregated situation, they just didn't have that opportunity. So what we did at Lincoln High School, we gave those students all that we could give in those 4 years of high school. Their junior senior prom, it was first class. I mean, tuxedos, the big band, the gymtorium was decorated. I remember 1 year, Jim Torum had decorated, the stage was a ship, with the portholes in it, and the seniors, they were the ones that were allowed up on the stage, and they had their tables, card tables, and we served, we had heavy hors d'oeuvres and punch and so forth, it was almost like a dinner, and it was a big occasion. Because that might be the last time that they would have something of that nature, since many of them would not go to college and get into the fraternities and sororities and things of that nature and have that type of expense. So I know Miss Pope would have those girls, they learned to cook, they learned to sew, they learned how to set tables and all of those formal things, and be sure that they had that before they left for high school. So those types of things I do remember, that many of those students did not. But we had quite a few who were able to go to the colleges and universities, and of course they did very well because we trained them, and they made us proud.
Well, I think they were very proud of you. They were very proud of not just you, but other teachers as well. I mean, the pride with which the people I've interviewed speak is really remarkable. The love that they had for the school and the teachers.
They had, it was a really close, and I know you've heard this phrase another time, but it was just like family. I mean, everybody was very close, and nobody had a problem by themselves. It was everyone's problem. Known to help each other. I mean, it was just one of those things.
Are there any other remembrances that you have that I haven't asked you about that you'd like to share?
Well, I think we've just about touched on everything. We touched on the homecoming parade. I can remember for the first time having to be responsible for a float because R.D. Smith was he was the float builder, but you had to raise the money for the panels and things that they would decorate the floats with, and go through the catalogs. You know, I mean, that was an experience for me. And then you'd have to find somebody that had a tractor that was going to pull the float. All those kinds of things. So being the band director, the homeroom teacher, safety patrol advisor, and all that, and then have to go through this part of the homecoming was a little traumatic, but it was enjoyable. I mean, I had to come home and then go back at night and help with supervise the decoration of our float. Hope ours was better than someone else's, you know, with all the competition that went in, who had the best float and so forth.
Well, now I heard a story about you, and tell me if this is true. Maybe it was another band director. I think it was Willie Bradshaw went to scout a team, and he came back, and you got after him and said, "Now, what was the band like?
That's
what did
right.
they do?" And
that's
you weren't just performing; you were competing with the other band.
Oh, definitely, yes, yeah. I would tell him. I said, "Brad, when you scout, so and so, scout the band for me. Was it a big band, or a little band? What did they do? You know?" And yes, sure.
You weren't going to be outdone by any band, huh? Just like the football team.
That's right. Now, I didn't like to lose. I wanted to be a winner, and by me wanting to be a winner, that made the students winners also. And they liked the competition, and of course, everybody likes to win. No one likes to lose. And when I found out what the other band was doing before they came to me, I was ready. Or if I got ready to go to them, I knew exactly how to prepare myself. He would even tell me if he could remember what songs they played, you know, if they had something special that they did or something like that. Yes, you're right. I didn't know what you were coming up with.
I thought that was a great story.
Yeah, scout the band, yeah. I don't know about the football team there, but what about the band?
So you went to most of the away games and played at most of the away games?
Not in Chapel Hill. That was a little expensive. I know we did go to quite a few of them, but I think Bradshaw can. Let's see, I don't think we went to all of them, but we did. Yes, back then, we did go to some away games.
you remember the football team having any special routines that were unusual? Did they? Someone had told me they ran out on the field and they circled the field and then came to the center and did some kind of song and a dance routine with it.
Oh, my goodness. You are right. I do remember that. Yes. They did. And I also remember that Bradshaw's football players and basketball players were all clean-cut young men. I remember one time, now, you know what year this was. This is back in the 60s. This is before Michael Jordan even thought of. But he had, all of them had the close haircuts on the basketball team. And they all looked alike. It was right intimidating for the opposite team, you know.
They all come out there
with the haircuts real close, you know. I mean, they had hair, but it was a close haircut. And I thought that was neat. And they looked so good in their uniform. They all looked alike, you know. And they had the uniforms, and they all had the same type of haircut. You know, you didn't see one guy with a close cut and another guy with a shaggy cut, and this type of thing, you know, a flat top or whatever. But they all had the close haircut. And this is what he told them to do. I don't know whether he mentioned that in his interview or not, but that was one of the things that he did.
Yeah, he is a very humble man.
Yeah.
I mean, for all of the awards and excellence that
sure.
he exhibits, he doesn't, you don't get that impression from just meeting him. He's just very quiet and doesn't boast. I mean, he's in 3 Hall of Fames, I believe.
But he had discipline. He had discipline. And I guess after we get old, like we are now, we do have a tendency to mellow out a little bit. But during his day, he was a strict disciplinarian, and that's why they won so many things that he was able to do. Without the discipline, it just won't work. You have to have the rules and regulations and a plan, and you get those students to follow that. That's great. And if you don't have that discipline, and everybody can do what they want to do, it's not going to work. You're not going to have the success that the two of us have enjoyed.
Well, that's a wonderful place to end it, I think. I mean, I think you've really summarized the school very well with the discipline, the performance,
sure.
the competition,
sure.
and you also mentioned fun and pride.
Oh, definitely.
I think those are really wonderful hallmarks and ways to remember the school. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it very much, Clark.